This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we spoke about the importance of the topic of Allah's names and attributes and how important it is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and His attributes was the central theme that we find in the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the lives of his companions. And so today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to go through some important guidelines and rules concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is important for us to understand before we get into discussing the various names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are several rules that the scholars mention concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Several points they mention, and we'll try to go through these points quickly, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so the first rule that they mention is that all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, all of them, without exception, are as Allah describes them in the Quran, Al-Husna. They are all Al-Husna. Asma'ullah Al-Husna. And so Al-Husna refers to the highest level of beauty. So the names of Allah are the most beautiful of names. The names of Allah are the most beautiful of names. And so Allah mentions this in four different places in the Quran. In Surah Al-A'raf, in Surah Al-Isra, in Surah Taha, and in Surah Al-Hashr. And so in Surah Al-A'raf, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Him by these names. Call upon Him by these names. So why are they referred to as Al-Husna? Why are they referred to as the most beautiful? The reason is because they imply perfect attributes. They imply perfect attributes. And so there are no deficiencies in any of Allah's attributes whatsoever. And so let's take the example of Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy is one of the names of Allah. It means the ever-living. It implies perfect life. And so Allah's life is not preceded with non-existence, nor is it followed by death. Also, a perfect life, it necessitates certain things like perfect knowledge, perfect ability, perfect hearing, perfect seeing. So all of that comes from Allah being described as Al-Hayy. Compare that now to the life of his creation, created beings. And so we human beings are preceded by what? By non-existence. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not come a time when man, he was nothing? He was nothing to even mention. Our lives are followed by what? By death. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Everyone on earth is going to cease to exist. Right? Take another example. Al-Alim. This is one of Allah's names. The most knowledgeable. That implies perfect knowledge. It is not preceded by ignorance, nor is it followed by forgetfulness. And likewise, take all of Allah's names in this way, and you find that they are perfect in every way, in every aspect. The attribute that is derived from the name is perfect from every single name, from every single angle, from every single perspective. Also, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, as compared to us human beings, we human beings, we are given names, and the meanings of those names may not apply to us. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with certain attributes that he has been attributed with, and then he named himself according to those attributes. Let me say that again. We human beings, our parents give us a name that has a nice meaning to it. However, that meaning may not apply to us. So for example, someone can be called, like his name can be Kareem, which means generous. But he may be someone greedy. Another person can be, his name could be Rahim, merciful, but he's not merciful. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was already generous. Because he is attributed with karam, with generosity, because of that, his name is Al-Kareem. Allah has always been merciful. Because he is merciful, he is named Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. And so we human beings, the reason why we're given names is not because of attributes that we have, right, that reflect those names. We are given names to distinguish one from the other. And so, this is another way of looking at the beauty of Allah's names. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names are there for praising him. Allah's names are there to praise him, to praise his beauty. Like Ar-Rahman, Al-Wadud, the loving, Ar-Rahim, to basically praise his beauty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other names, praise his majesty, like Al-Qawi, the strong, Al-Aziz, Al-Azim, the great, and so on and so forth. Now when it comes to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have certain names which can be mentioned on their own. right? Like, and that's the majority of the names. Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, Al-Rahim, Al-Aziz, the majority of the names are like this. They can be mentioned on their own. And then we find in the Quran, sometimes the names are mentioned together. Throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines between two names. And so he calls himself Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim, combining these two names. Al-Hakim Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. So, both names have a meaning of their own, an independent meaning of their own. But when they are connected and they're combined together, they give an extra added meaning to it. And so, for example, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz is the powerful, the mighty. And Al-Hakim is the wise. What is the added meaning that you get from this, from these two names being combined? What is that extra meaning that you get out of it? There has to be an intended meaning. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines between his names without a purpose. And so the scholars, they say Al-Hakim is the mighty, but his might does not allow him to do things without wisdom. And so most people who are looked at as being mighty, sometimes their might, it gets the most of them. And they do things without wisdom. But that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have two names being coupled together. And then we have names that can never be mentioned on their own. They have to be mentioned together. They have to be connected and be mentioned together. They cannot be mentioned individually. Because if you mention it individually, it gives this impression of deficiency. And Allah is not attributed with anything deficient. So for example, we have from the names of Allah, An-Nafi' and Ad-Dar. The one who brings benefit and the one who harms. So you're not allowed to say Allah is the one who harms on its own. But rather, you have to mention these two together. Al-Qabid Al-Basit. Al-Qabid means the one who withholds from giving. Al-Basit, the one who gives, who extends in giving. You're not allowed to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who withholds, because it gives that impression of stinginess. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be attributed with such. So certain names, they have to be mentioned together. So moving on now to the second rule. The first rule was that all of Allah's names are, what are they? Al-Husna, the most beautiful of names. The second rule is that Allah's names, they are, as they say, A'lamun wa awsaf. They are names that identify who Allah is, and they are also descriptions. So they are names that identify Allah, and they are also descriptions, attributes. For example, when you say That person, his name is Zayd. He's recognized with that name. That's who he's identified with, that name. People know him by that name, regardless of what that name means. With Allah, we identify Allah with certain names, and also the meanings of those names, they have meanings that are attributes of who Allah is, descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in one way, we could say that Allah's names are synonymous, as they signify one being, and that is Allah. They identify one being. So in that way, Allah's names are synonymous. But in another way, they are dissimilar, where each name implies a different attribute. Each name implies a different attribute. So Allah is Al-Ghafoor, and He's also Al-Qadir. And each of these two names have two different attributes. The third rule is that the names of Allah, we can divide them into two categories. And so the first are names that indicate attributes that describe Allah as a being, that describe His essence of who He is. And then the second category, names whose attributes extend to Allah's creation. The attributes, we can say they are transitive. They have an effect on Allah's creation. How can we distinguish between the two? How can we distinguish between these two categories? If we were to look in the Quran, we would find that the first category, Allah only names Himself by those names, and we don't really have a verb from those names. It doesn't come in the verb form. On the other hand, the second category, those names that are transitive, they extend to Allah's creation, we find Allah uses the verb form for those names. And we'll give examples so that it becomes clear. And so, for example, Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Allah is the ever-living. This is a description of Him. But it doesn't extend to us. It's called intransitive. It doesn't extend to us. It doesn't have an effect on us. He is the ever-living whether He created us or not. And nowhere in the Quran do you find the verb form for Al-Hayy. Nowhere in the Quran do you find the verb form for Al-Hayy. The same thing with Al-Azim. Allah is Al-Azim, the great. This describes who Allah is. It's not transitive in the sense that, you know, it has an effect on us. He is Al-Azim whether we exist or not. And we don't find the verb form for Al-Azim in the Quran, which is Ya'zam. On the other hand, we have the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Sami'a, the one who hears, the all-hearing. So is this name transitive or intransitive? It's transitive. Why? Because he hears his creation. So Allah hears his creation. And do we find the verb form for As-Sami' in the Quran? Yes. Yasma'u. Sami'a. He heard. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُ. Allah heard. So the verb form, Allah heard. And then he tells us what he heard. Okay. Another example, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. Him being described as the most merciful, it has an effect. It extends to us. And we find the verb form, Rahima, Yarhamu, he shows mercy. And so when it comes to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are transitive, firstly, we affirm the name as Allah has mentioned in the Quran. Secondly, we affirm the attribute that it implies. So Allah is Ar-Rahim, this is the name. We affirm the name. Secondly, we affirm the attribute that it implies. What is the attribute that it implies? Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. Rahmah is the attribute that it implies, which is mercy. And thirdly, we believe in this name. We believe in this name. And fourthly, we affirm the effect that this name has on Allah's creation. The implication, the impact of believing in this name. Moving on to the fourth rule, the names of Allah, all of them are what is known as being tawqifiyah. Meaning that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are set in stone. By who? By Allah himself. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two sources for knowing the names of Allah are the Quran and the Sunnah. So we neither suggest any new names for Allah, nor do we delete any of them. And the reason for that is very simple. Our minds cannot encompass or fathom Allah, how Allah is, or how He deserves to be called. Our limited human mind can never encompass what is infinite. Our minds are finite, and we can never understand something that is infinite. And so our human intellect has its limit. If we were to think about all of our five senses, one by one, we would find that they have their limit. Our sight, And if we were to think about it, each one of our senses, if we were to try to cross its limit, it's going to harm us. For example, our sight. If someone says, I want to go out in the middle of the summer and in the middle of the day, and I want to look at the sun. I want to see it with my eyes. What's going to happen? He's going to burn his eyes. Right? Why? Because our sight has a limit. If someone says, I'm not going to believe that ants produce sound because I can't hear it. What does it show us? It shows us that he's trying to deny something because he can't sense it with his own senses. And it shows us that our hearing has its limit. Likewise, all of the senses. And one of our senses is our human intellect. And so if someone was to go beyond the limit of the human mind, he's going to harm himself. That's the reality. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us in the Quran about this. About speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. Trying to go beyond our human intellect and saying, I'm going to try to figure out something about Allah on my own, just with my own intellect. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not speak about that which you have no knowledge. And elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade it. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It's from the major sins to speak about Allah without knowledge. And so whoever calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a name that he did not name himself with, he's basically saying about Allah that which he has no knowledge of. And so this is the fourth rule, that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are only to be decided upon by revelation. There's no other source. The fifth rule, the names of Allah are not restricted to a specific number. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not limited to a specific number. What is the proof for this? What's the proof for this? The first is that we have a hadith which is basically one of the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Allahumma inni abiduka wa ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatik nasiyati biyadik madhun fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qada'uk as'aluka bikulli ismin huwa lak. I ask you, O Allah, by every name that belongs to you. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكْ, that you have named yourself with. أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكْ, or that you have revealed in your book. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَادًا مِنْ خَلْقِكْ, or that you have taught to one of your creation. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكْ, or that which you have preferred to keep a secret in the knowledge of the unseen. So in this hadith, Allah divide the Prophet ﷺ divides the names of Allah into three categories. Names which he named himself with, and he revealed to whomever he wills these names. Whether it be the angels, whether it be certain prophets. So he has taught it to somebody from his creation. Names that he has taught to someone from his creation. The second, names that he revealed in his book. So these are now for everyone to know. So the first, those names that Allah taught to certain people, certain individuals. That individual may have taught it to others or he may not have. The second, those names that Allah revealed in his book for everyone to learn. And then the third, names which Allah kept in the knowledge of the unseen, unknown to any of his creation. He did not tell even the closest angel about that name. So here the Prophet ﷺ affirmed that Allah has names that we don't know of. So what does that prove? That the names of Allah are not limited to a specific number. Having said that, some of you may be wondering about a hadith that talks about a certain number of the names of Allah. What is that hadith? Or what's the number that everyone thinks of when it comes to the names of Allah? 99 names. So 99 names of Allah is taken from a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ إِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And in another narration, that Allah has 100 names minus one, 99 names. Whoever memorizes them will enter Jannah. So, people understood from this that Allah has 99 names. However, as the scholars mention, this understanding is incorrect. And so Imam an-Nawawi mentions that there is consensus among the scholars of Islam that Allah's names are not limited to 99. And that the meaning of this hadith is not that the Prophet ﷺ is telling us about the number of names that belong to Allah, but rather that whoever memorizes 99 of Allah's names, then that will be his reward. And so an easy way to understand this is, for example, somebody comes and says that I have $100 that I've set aside for giving in sadaqah. He says this to you. Do you understand from what he said that this is the only money that he has? And he doesn't own more than $100? No. No one will understand that. But rather, it's for a purpose. This $100 is for a purpose. And that's for sadaqah. Likewise, Allah has 99 and more than 99. But whoever memorizes 99 of them, he will enter Jannah. Now, what is the meaning of this hadith? Is it only you memorize these names and that's it, you go to Jannah? No. But rather, you have to understand the meanings of these names. You have to worship Allah by these names. And worship of Allah by these names, it's of two kinds. One is making dua by these names. And the other is The other is acting according to these names in your life. So all of that is worship. Worshipping Allah by these names. And the third thing afterwards is to memorize them. So it's not only you memorize and that's it. But rather you get the reward of entering Jannah if you understand the meanings of these 99 names and you worship Allah by them. And then after that you memorize them. Alright, moving on to the next rule, the sixth rule. And this will be the last. In the verse in Surah Al-A'raf that we mentioned in the very beginning, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Him by these names. And then what does Allah say? وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And leave those who deviate concerning Allah's names. Ignore them. Leave those who deviate concerning His names. They will get what they used to do. They will be rewarded with what they used to do. So, the rule that we have here is that deviation concerning the names of Allah has different forms. And so Allah Himself told us that there are people who deviate concerning Allah's names. So the question is, what does it mean to deviate concerning Allah's names? The first is to deny some of them or all of them. To deny. To say, Allah is not attributed with this name. Or to deny what the name implies of attributes. To say that, okay, yes, Allah is, for example, As-Sami', the All-Hearing. It's a name of His, but we don't believe in the attribute, which is to hear. And there were people who did this in the past. There were people who did this in the past. They said Allah is Sami'un bila sam'a. That Allah is the all-hearing without being attributed with the attribute of hearing. And the reason why they did that is because they presumed that if we affirm certain attributes for Allah, if we affirm these, then we are falling into another deviation, and that is that we are likening Allah to His creation. So we human beings, we hear, right? We see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing like Him. So they thought that if we affirm that Allah also hears, Allah can also see, then it means that Allah is like His creation. So this was a false presumption on their part. And that's what led them to deny many of Allah's attributes. Another form of deviation with regards to Allah's names is to name Allah with names that He did not name Himself with. Like the Christians who call Him the Father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never referred to Himself as such. And so what did we say in the previous rule? That the names of Allah, tawqifiyah. We only take them from revelation, from the Quran, from the Sunnah. The third form of deviation concerning Allah's names is to derive names for false gods and idols from the names of Allah, like the mushrikun did. And so their idols that they referred to as Al-Uzza, for example, where did it come from? It came from Allah's name Al-Aziz or Al-Lat. It came from Allah's name Al-Ilah. So they derived names for their idols from the names of Allah. And likewise, we should not do the same when it comes to naming ourselves or our children. And so, yes, there are certain names that you can call others by, like we mentioned examples of these already. Kareem, it means somebody is generous. Rahim, it means somebody is merciful. But then there are certain names of Allah that we cannot call others, like Rahman or Khaliq or Quddus. Right? These names belong to Allah alone, and it is forbidden to name anything else with it. The fourth form of deviation concerning Allah's names is to resemble Allah's attributes with His creation. So now this is the opposite of the first example. What was the first form of deviation concerning Allah's names? To deny. To deny a name or an attribute of Allah. This is the opposite of that. Somebody says that I affirm that Allah is Al-Aziz, for example, but I believe that Allah's might and power is like that of His creation. So here you are resembling Allah and His attributes with His creation. And so while we can be Rahim, we gave that example just now, a human being, you can call him Rahim, you can call him Kareem. But Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah is Akramul Akrameen. He is the most generous of those who are generous. So people can be generous. People can be merciful. People can be just. But Allah is the most just of those who show justice, and so on and so forth. And so what we learn from this, and I'll conclude with this, what we learn from this is that, you know, when a person, he loves somebody so much and his heart becomes attached to him so much, he feels love towards this person and he hopes, you know, this person is merciful. He hopes for his mercy more than he hopes for the mercy of Allah. And this is the danger. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Yusuf alayhi salam a lesson in this. Which part of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam did Allah teach him this lesson in? When he was in prison, when he was in prison and his two fellow prison mates, they had a dream. Both of them had a dream, and he interpreted their dream for them. And so One, he said, you're going to be killed. That's going to be your punishment. And the other, he said, you're going to become a servant. You're going to become a servant for the king. So you're going to become free. And so Yusuf alayhi salam knew that he's going to become free very soon. And he's going to be with the king. So he told him, when you leave prison, I want you to remind the king about me. Remind him about me. Perhaps he'll remember about my case and remember my innocence, and I'll be freed. So he put his hope in the mercy of the king. When that prisoner left prison, he forgot. He forgot about what Yusuf alayhi salam had told him. And so Allah tells us, as a result, Yusuf alayhi salam ended up remaining in prison for several more years. And so what was the lesson that Allah wanted to teach him? To put your hope in me instead of others. And so no matter what situation you're in, who or what should be the first thing that comes to your mind? It should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful one, the most generous one, the most forgiving one, and so on and so forth. How do you learn that? Through his names. Through his most beautiful names, which is what we're going to be doing inshallah ta'ala. From next week, we're going to start going through the various names of Allah, learning their meanings, also learning how to utilize these names in our lives, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so with that, we conclude. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.